that as we read, Jesus is continuing to teach his disciples. He's showing them still his kingdom. What kind of kingdom? How to live in this kingdom? What kind of king is he? Remember, he had chosen his apostles, and now many people were together listening to him. And he was showing them the ways of his kingdom, how to live in it. Now here, he's continuing to show them how to love their neighbors, or how to love others, how to love their enemies. And that's how kingdom living begins, with loving those who treat us badly, with loving the people that we meet each day. It's a kingdom of godliness, a kingdom of kindness, a kingdom of generosity, a kingdom of open hearts. Now, what does this really mean? We're still listening to him as he teaches. So we've reached verse 37 in chapter 6. We're going to go up to verse 45. And he has three rules, or three teachings, for us to learn. We start in verse 37 and 38. He says, as you treat others, you will be treated. The way you behave to other people is the way that they will behave then towards you. And first he says, do not judge, or you will be judged. Or do not judge, and you will not be judged. Now, judging, that is to give your verdict. In a courtroom, all the court sits, and the judge, he tells you what he thinks. He makes his decision. He justifies, or he condemns. Now, judging is something you can do in words. You can say, well, that is a very bad man, I don't like him. Or you can do it in your thoughts. You can say, this person, I don't like them, I'll not be with them. Judging. Now, the kind of judging Jesus is speaking of, he's saying, when it's not your business. Many things are not my business, they're not your business. It's not for us to make ourselves God, to receive or to reject, to accept or to send away. It's not for us to say, this person is bad, I'll hate them. This person is good, I'll receive them. It's when we take God's place. Now, sometimes we must make a decision. Sometimes we must judge. In your family, you must know when your children are doing wrong so that you correct them. If you're in a place of work and you've got people working for you, you want to decide if they're good workers, if you'll continue to have them, or if they're bad workers and maybe you should get rid of them. When you're protecting your home, you know there are some people you can't allow in your home because they'll bring trouble. But Jesus is saying that often it's not our business. When we just meet people and talk with them and go our way, we should let others live their lives before God, and we should live our lives before God. It says in another place, but if you start biting one another, if you start fighting one another, then you'll be devouring one another, you'll be killing one another. We must live as the servants of God. We must allow others also to live before God. But if you judge others, then they will judge you. Let God be God, and let us live our lives before him. Now then he says, do not condemn. You will not be condemned. To condemn, it's going a little further than judging. It's when you reject and you send away. It's when you hand out the verdict, and you say that this person I will have nothing to do with. This person I will not help. This person I will not be kind to. This person is just a waste of my time. Now again, sometimes that does happen. If you are the judge in a courtroom, then some people you send away. So they don't live in the town anymore, they're put in the prison. In the church, after somebody joins the church, after somebody becomes one of the brothers, if their life is not a life pleasing to God, if it seems that they were just deceiving us, if they continue in sin and they're not repenting, then they have to be put outside the church. Sometimes in a family, somebody has to be sent away. They have to be disowned. But he's saying, as we live together in our neighborhoods, as we live in our communities, we're to leave the condemning to the proper people. We're not to take it into our hands. It's not for us to start saying, this person, he's evil. Let's fight against him. Let's reject him. Or this person here at work, we'll not work together with him. Now, what we are to do is to always be, well, Jesus continues, always be forgiving, always be ready to restore, always be ready to make things better again, to repair our relationships. We're to forgive. Well, that's how Jesus continues. He says, you must forgive. You see, Jesus never finally rejects anyone in this life. No, until the day of judgment, Jesus says, I'm ready to forgive you. If you'll repent of your sin and believe in me, then I won't reject you. You may have done terrible things. Maybe the whole world has now rejected you, but Jesus says, I will receive you if you turn again to me. If you leave your sin and come back, I receive you. Yes, one day Jesus will be the judge. One day he will send some people away forever. One day people will leave God and go into the fire that always burns. But that day has not yet come. What did Jesus do when he was dying on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. Even on the cross, he prayed for his enemies that they might turn again, saying that's how we are to be. I saw someone this week. They were putting some chemicals, Walikuwaki Pigadawa, on their house because of termites. They knew if termites got in, the house would be eaten away and it would fall down. The termites are like bitterness or a bad attitude in your heart. When you won't forgive someone, it eats away, and your life falls down because you are eaten up by bitterness. Jesus says that if you don't forgive, then others won't forgive you. And the communities and the neighborhoods we live in fall down. I'm sure you know neighbors, and they hate other neighbors. Neighbors who rejected, and they always criticize and condemn other neighbors. And we can't live together like that. Jesus says we must be different. We must be ready to forgive, to receive them back, to restore. There can't be a final no with us. A Christian can't say, that person I finished with. A Christian must say, that person I'm willing to make it better. I want to make it better with them. Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. When your neighbor's in need, be there to help them. Don't say, no, that one I finished with. Be there to help them. God never says he's finished with us. Though we sin against him day after day, we break his laws, we're unclean, we're unholy before him, but he never says, I'm finished with you. He says, confess your sins, come back to me, and we can start again. We are to be like God if we are in the kingdom of God. But there's a warning, you see. If we don't forgive, then we won't be forgiven. If we judge, then we will be judged. If we condemn, then we will be condemned. If we don't give, then we won't receive. So as we are to others, so others will be to us. And finally, God will be to us. If our lives show that we don't like forgiveness, that we don't want kindness, that we don't want to wait for God to judge, that we want to judge ourselves, well, God's judgment will come upon us. This is a very different way of living. People in this world, they look after themselves first. In my country, they say, you must look after number one. Who's number one? It means yourself. You must look after number one. If you don't look after yourself, nobody else will, they say. And so they make sure they keep everybody else at a distance so that they're safe and protected from other people. But Jesus says that is the very wrong way of living. That first you look after your neighbour. First look after others. And then God will look after you. God will make sure you are cared for. He will make sure that you are given to, that you are cared for. He says a good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over. It seems to be pouring out grain. That here's the time when you're hungry and you have to go to your neighbour and say, neighbour, can you help me? And he says a good measure will be given. It'll be pressed down, it'll be shaken together, it'll be running over. The measure you use to others will be used to you. That's how you have to live. But you have to have faith, don't you? You have to believe God's word here. Because it's first you have to serve others. And then God will make sure that you are okay. But first you have to take the step of faith. It's always like that. Jesus had to trust his Father and die on the cross before his Father raised him up in glory and power. First, you have to give your heart to others, and then God will take care of you. Now, many people never learn that. They're not willing to take that step. They're not willing to risk anything. They want to make sure everything in their life is safe first, before they do anything to serve their neighbour. Jesus says you need to become a new person. You need to be converted. You need to believe God's promises. And then you will see. So as you treat others, they will treat you. Now, Jesus had said before, yes, Christians will have trouble. They'll have those who hate them for no reason. But God will take care of them. He'll find a way. Now let's look at verses 39 to 42. 39 to 42, there's another lesson. The way we are is the way others will learn to be. What we do, others will learn from. We learn by copying. Some of us have small children, they have babies. They watch the things that we do, they copy them. They listen to the noises we make and they copy them. And that's how they learn everything. Does your child learn to speak after it goes to school? No, it learns long before by hearing your sounds. In my country, we often say, like father, like son. And it's often like that. A bad man often has a bad son. A good man often has a good son. That's why Jesus chose his apostles to be with him for 3 years. He didn't say, let's send you off to some university, but he said, now watch me, watch what I do, learn from me. The apostle Paul did the same. He said to his churches, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1, he said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. And people will learn about Jesus by watching the members of the church. So those who've joined and are having the Lord's Supper together each week, people will watch us to see what it means to be in this church. What we think is good, what we think is bad. It's a serious thing to join a church. People are looking at us to learn about Jesus. We may be teaching them a good lesson, or we may teach them a wrong lesson, but they're looking. See, Jesus says in verse 39, "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit?" If your leader is blind, he'll lead you into a pit. He won't show you how to see. He says this another way in verse 40. He says, "A student is not above his teacher. Everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher." So important to have good teachers. Very, very few students rise above their teachers. But the things they see are the things that they then follow. If our leaders in Kenya are corrupt, then the people learn to be corrupt. The corruption comes down from the top. Everyone follows it. Students don't rise higher than their teachers. Followers don't rise above their masters. It's a fact. How you are as a parent is how your children will be. How the leaders of the church are how the people will learn to be. Now, God hates hypocrisy. God hates hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It is when you speak, but you do not do. You have good words, but you don't follow your own words. You judge others, you condemn others, but you do the same things. And Jesus says many of us are deceived. We don't understand ourselves. Verse 42. You say to your brother, "Brother, there's a little speck in your eye. I can see it." You know, a speck, it's a small dot. Very, very tiny, tiny piece of wood. If you get a splinter, tiny, tiny. You say, "Brother, I can see in your eye. There's something there. Let me pull it out." And yet you have a whole plank coming out of your eye. That's hypocrisy. You found some tiny, tiny problem in another person, and you can't see the big problems in your own life. God does not judge us by our words, but by the reality, by the things that we do. It is not enough to speak against sin. It's not enough to condemn it in others. But we must have the reality in our own lives as well. We must be repenting of our own sins. Because God is not fooled. He doesn't look at our appearance, but he looks at the truth. Is your Christianity just hypocrisy? You speak words, you speak against sins, but you do the same sins. God is not fooled. He sees into your heart, and he knows what you are. He sees the plank coming out of your eye. Or is your Christianity a living power? Has the Holy Spirit of God come to you and made you a new person? Do you have Jesus Christ now living in you? Are you just trying to live in your own way, in your own effort? You need to ask Jesus to come and make you a new person. You need to confess to him and say, "Jesus, I've just been pretending, but now please come and make me new. I criticized other people, I judged other people, but I did the same things. Or make me a new person, Lord Jesus. As you rose from the dead in power, may that power now be in me." We can't teach people anything till we learn it ourselves. We just be blind, leading another blind man into the pit. They won't rise higher than we've risen. Now, verse 43, 44, 45, Jesus says, "What you are in your heart is what you are. As your heart is, so you are." So we had these three lessons. The way you treat others, they will treat you. As you are, others will learn to be. But as your heart is, that is what you are. Many people have the name of being a Christian, but they don't have a heart of a Christian. And the heart is the main thing. It's the first thing. A tree cannot produce better fruit than the tree is. If you plant diseased crops in your shamba, then you will get diseased harvest. If you plant a diseased tree, you'll get diseased fruit. But if you have a good, strong, healthy tree, you will get good, strong, healthy fruit. And we know that. What farmer will go and plant a bad tree and then think he's going to get a good harvest? You call that man a fool. And yet many people are like that with Christianity. You know what the fruit is by going to the roots, seeing how strong the plant is. Now God sees the heart. God sees the heart. And your heart shows what you really are. End of verse 45 says, "Out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." God knows the thoughts you have. He knows the desires you have. He knows what you want and what you hunger for. And that is where your words then come from. And everything after that, all your actions, all your deeds, they come from the root in your heart. It's no use pretending with God. If you have a heart that is selfish, if you're not yet converted, if Jesus hasn't made you new, then you can't live a good life and you can't teach others the way. The Bible says you must first be born again. You first need to be converted. You need to have that place, you need to have that time when you meet with Jesus and he makes you to be a new person. Our hearts are all bad when we're born in this world. Our children, very quickly, they're speaking lies, they're fighting, they're disobeying, they're full of anger, they're having rage and tantrums, because their hearts are born that way, like ours were. But first, you need to have a new heart. In verse 45, he says, "The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." Now, other Bibles are using a harder word, using treasury or treasure store. It's a man who has a place where he keeps all his precious things. And he goes in there and he brings them out. And if he's a rich man, he brings out jewels and silver and gold. But if he's a beggar, he just brings out rags and dirt. What do you have hidden away in the treasury, the treasure store of your heart? We need to be converted. We need to be born again. We need Christ to come and live in us. We need to believe in him. Believe that he died to take away our sins. Believe that he lived, that he rose again to give us a new life. Believe in his love towards us. You see, he's the master who shows us the true way. He won't judge us and condemn us, but he'll accept us and receive us. He won't refuse to forgive us, but he'll take away all our sins. So God never sees it ever again, not even once. He gives and gives to us a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. He gives his Spirit to come and be with us. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. So, do you have the reality? Are you a true Christian? You'll know it. You'll know it from your life. God knows it from your heart. As we treat others, that's the way we'll be treated. As we really are, that's what others will learn. And what we are is what we are in our hearts.